Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously each day. Lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. He cried out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames.' Abraham replied, 'My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours or from your side to ours.' Then he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment.' But Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' He said, 'Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' Then Abraham said, 'If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning. You know, oftentimes when I'm out and about, especially when I visit my parents who live on the west side of town, I return home coming on 51, and I get off on the exit to Indian School, and usually I end up waiting at the light, and almost always there's somebody waiting on the intersection looking at me and asking for money. And I don't know about you, but it makes me feel really uncomfortable. And 9 times out of 10, I'm wearing my Roman collar, which doesn't make it any easier for me. And I'll tell you, it makes me feel really uncomfortable precisely because of gospel readings like we just heard about the rich man and Lazarus, and how the rich man's condemnation comes because of his unwillingness to give from his surplus to somebody at his doorstep who is in such great need. And you know what? The fact that it makes me uncomfortable is a very good thing. If you can stop at one of those intersections and see somebody in a terrible state and not feel anything, I think that perhaps you are in a very bad spiritual place indeed. When we look at this gospel reading, it's one of the most critical of us who have so much that we could share, but oftentimes we save it for ourselves. Father Boulding and I were talking about this almost all day yesterday, and how guilty we feel as poor starving priests with this gospel text. So I can only imagine how other people would think about it. No, we're not really poor starving priests, but anyways, we have a lot to be grateful for, and oftentimes we feel that we have excess. And so what are we to make of this scripture passage? Well, I want to go through the lines, because every word that Luke speaks in here paints the story, and there are spiritual things pretty much in every line that we could glean something from. So we see that Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. Now, I think before I go any further, I would have to tell you that it was common thought among the Pharisees that if somebody had wealth and was rich or had plenty, that that was a sign to them that God had blessed them with it, and they were probably in a good spiritual place. This is not how Jesus saw the wealthy. And the Pharisees also had this idea or belief that if somebody was financially not well off or suffering from some illness or blindness, that they thought it was perhaps that that person was a great sinner, or even their parents had committed sins and this was some sort of divine retribution. And so for Jesus to give this parable to the Pharisees, he was turning their world upside down, and probably they would disagree with him. Either that, or they would be cut to the bone of the need of conversion in their own lives. So he goes on by saying, there was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen. Oftentimes, wealthy Pharisees would dress in a similar way. Purple is a very key word there, because purple was a very rare color in the time of Jesus. To get a purple garment, one had to harvest a certain shellfish and extract from it a tiny amount of purple dye. And it would take a great deal of these shellfish, a great deal of work and effort to produce enough dye to make one's entire garment in the color of purple. If any of you have ever gone on a tour in about Italy or Rome, whenever they uncover something purple in a tile or in a painting, they always associate the area with nobility or extreme wealth, because purple was very, very expensive. And so we see this rich man being described as being extremely wealthy. And lying at his door now is contrasting his wealth with this poor man named Lazarus. He wasn't covered in purple linen, but rather he was covered in sores. And so one may even ask the question, was he a leper, or did he have some kind of disease? Maybe there are some doctors among you who are already running the diagnosis in your mind of what he may have had. But he was covered in sores, and so he's completely the opposite. He would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. I was reading a commentary yesterday that said for the extremely wealthy, it was common practice. They ate with their hands. They didn't have utensils like we have today. Where do we get that from? The British, maybe? But anyways, they ate with their hands, and to wipe their hands, they would often use bread. The extremely wealthy would wipe their hands in bread and then discard the bread. And so this is the image of what Lazarus was longing to eat, the throwaway from the rich man's table. The only comfort the poor man seemed to have was the dogs that came and would lick his sores. And perhaps it's even a description of how feeble he was in his poverty, that he couldn't even ward off the dogs, or perhaps they were there as a sort of comfort for him. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. When I read that passage, that line, I see in Lazarus something precious of great worth, that the angels would delicately pick him up, not just one angel, but many angels would delicately pick him up and carry him to the bosom of Abraham. The bosom meaning to his embrace and close to the heart of Father Abraham. And I think it's important that we see that detail of how beautiful he is in the sight of God, that these angels would carry him with such reverence there to the embrace of Abraham. Oftentimes when I see a poor beggar on the street, my human tendency is to think of them as a bad person. And oftentimes they're very beautiful people. They just happen to be in very dire circumstances. But it's so common for people to see people in such dire need and disregard them as unimportant, or, you know, don't want to do anything to recognize their dignity. And what is it that Jesus always wanted us to see? He doesn't want us to see the poor person in the state that they're in, but he wants us to see himself in them. I remember somebody, a friend of mine, talked to Mother Teresa when she was alive and visited Phoenix. And I forget exactly the question he asked her, but it was something like, why do you do what you do? Why are you caring so much for the poor? And she grabbed his hand, and on each finger she pulled his digits, and she said, what you did unto me, or something like that. And so she saw in the poor person not some wretched man or woman, but she saw something beautiful. I remember hearing the story of Mother Teresa. She was cleaning a man's wounds in the street. He was lying there in an alley, and he had maggots crawling in his wound, and she poured clean water, and she was preparing to bandage the wound. And some tourist came around and saw it, and he went, "Yuck, I wouldn't do that for $1 million." He didn't know that she spoke English, and she turned around and looked at him and said, "Neither would I." And so Mother Teresa always saw in the poor not something to be discarded, but something beautiful and precious. And I think that's picked up in that line, that oftentimes we skip over it, that Lazarus was reverently carried to the embrace of Abraham by these angels. Contrasted then with the rich man who also died and was buried. He was given all the honors of a burial, probably an expensive casket, probably dressed in his fine clothes. Oftentimes the wealthy would even have expensive things buried with them. You know, think of Pharaoh and some of the Chinese emperors, and they tried to bring this wealth with them. And so he was given this great honor from man, but then he ends up in the netherworld in torment. And so though he was regarded highly in the sight of men after his burial, he found himself in torment in the netherworld. He raises his eyes to Abraham, and he sees this poor man who he disregarded at Abraham's side. He cries out to Abraham, "Have pity on me." But then we get to see some of his wickedness come through. He again now wants to treat Lazarus as a servant or a slave. And I can only imagine that there were probably lots of people with Abraham, but Lazarus had the position in Abraham's embrace. And of all the people, maybe, he says, "Send Lazarus." And so maybe he's thinking of Lazarus as some kind of servant or unimportant. "Dip his finger into water and have him place it on my tongue to cool it off, because I'm in torment in these flames." Abraham then says these kind of chilling words, "Remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented." I think we could all meditate on that little line. How many of us have so many good things surrounding us, and yet when we see dire poverty or people in great need around us, we're so reluctant to give. And when we do give, does it really cost us anything, or do we continue the same high standard of living that we have? And as I tell you this, it breaks my own heart, because I realize I need to do some changing myself, you know? "Moreover, between us there's a great chasm that prevents anyone from crossing who may want." You know, some of the scripture scholars have had conversations back and forth whether or not the rich man was actually in hell or in purgatory. Some would question, maybe he's in purgatory because his sin wasn't something that he did, but rather it was something that he failed to do. And was that categorized as a mortal sin that would condemn him to hell? And furthermore, he seems to have some desire to help others. And would somebody in hell have those positive inclinations. He thought of his brothers. Send them to my brothers and help my brothers. So some have made the argument that perhaps he was in a kind of purgatory. But I'll tell you, the early church fathers, without question, saw this not as purgatory, but as an image of hell. And the reason why was because Jesus over and over again spoke about our need, not our obligation, not our request, our obligation to reach out to the poor over and over again. It was far more than Jesus ever spoke about sexual sins. He spoke about the failure of those who have to reach out to those who are in great need. And so in particular, they would quote Jesus' own parable about the separation of the sheep from the goats. And those people would say, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry? Or when did we ever see you thirsty and not feed you and give you drink? And Jesus said to them, when you fail to do it to the least of my brothers, you fail to do it to me. Now depart from me, you evildoers. And so they saw in Lazarus the person maybe Jesus was speaking about in that parable. When Abraham says to the rich man, it's also interesting that we refer to these characters. There's only one that we know his name, Lazarus. The other is referred to as the rich man. In Latin, they called him Dives. Some of you may say, well, that's his name, Dives, but Dives in Latin means the rich man. And so the Lord knows personally the name of Lazarus, but the rich man is never mentioned as if he knows him. And so Jesus says, depart from me, I do not know who you are. And so it's important that Jesus knows your name. So Abraham says to the rich man, your brothers have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. And guess what? You and I also have Moses and the prophets, who all of them spoke about the need to care for the poor. He said, oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. Abraham says, if they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead. And indeed, someone did. Jesus rose from the dead. He is the one speaking to us through this gospel reading of our obligation to reach out to those in need. The rich man never kicked Lazarus. He never spat on him. He never ordered the police to come and carry him away and get him away from my house. As far as we know, the rich man never had a harsh word to say to Lazarus. The great sin of the rich man was that he did nothing when he had the opportunity and the means to help Lazarus in his poverty. One thing that I remember, I listened to a retreat for priests by Pope John Paul II. And in this retreat for priests, he said, we should thank God. We should thank the poor beggar who comes to us asking for help. Rather than looking at them as some sort of nuisance, we should thank them because they create for us the opportunity for mercy to exist. They create for us the opportunity for us to be charitable. And so oftentimes Jesus said the remedy of our sins is in charity. When we reach out and give to those in need, it covers a multitude of sin. And so some of our church fathers had said it was God's mercy who put Lazarus in front of the rich man every day at his doorpost. He would have to step over his body as he would make his way for the day. And it was God's mercy that put Lazarus right there in front of him. And over and over and over again, the rich man had the opportunity to reach out and to help him. And it is God's mercy that puts these people in our path every day who are in such need. And it is our shame when we do nothing. And so let us pray that as we are convicted by this gospel passage, that God would put it in our hearts to do more for those in need around us, that they may one day know our name, and that they may speak a good word to us when they are in God's presence, and that they can be there welcoming us into God's heavenly kingdom. May God preserve us from doing nothing.